Thank you, worship team. I didn't want that to end. Here's a present for you. If you guys would open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3, okay? Before we dive into that completely, and what we're really going to be focusing on when we look at these three verses, so have it open, have it ready. It's not a lot to focus on. It's just three verses. We're going to really be focusing on is Christ is all you need. And I want that to just be like ringing in your ears and resonating in your heart as you walk out these doors. That Christ is all you need. Now, before we get to that, I just thought it was appropriate to maybe make a few comments about what's going on around us in our country. Not because I feel like I have some unique point of view, but just maybe to recognize that we're all in the same place. So just want to make two quick comments, okay? And I think number one is that I feel the weight of it, and I feel the confusion, and I feel the heaviness in our country right now. It's okay, I've done that before, so during church, it's okay, don't feel bad. I did it in Gardner, so that's why I had to leave. Anyways, I did it while Ty was preaching. So I just want to say that I feel the heaviness, I feel the division, I feel the anger that people have right now. It's like I know kind of where we're at. I feel those things. And I'm not going to bring you a happy message of unity. Jesus says in Matthew 10:34, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to this earth. I have not come to bring peace but a sword." Now he's talking about Christians. He's talking about like if you're in a Muslim family, you become a Christian, they kick you out. There's a sword. They cut you off. But I guess what I'm thinking is when it comes to the Christian church, just let the truth be exposed. Like, we've got to be at the point where, like, we just kind of let it happen. And let's see who belongs to Christ and who doesn't. Those who worship politics, who worship either an old administration or a new administration, we'll kind of let those things, let it be exposed. That's okay. We don't have to feel like we have to force this sense of unity, at least for Christians. I think let's just let the political mess reveal things to us. I think at the same time, I just want to say that Francis Schaeffer, this is my only other comment, is one of the most brilliant thinkers of our time. He's a theologian, philosopher, and he said this back in the 70s, okay? So if you've ever read his stuff, it's hard to keep up with him. He said this back in the 70s. He made this video. I think you can watch it on Amazon Prime. But he made these videos. Oh, I can never remember how it's phrased. How shall we then live? How then shall we live? Did I say it right the first time? Something like that. He said this back in the 70s on one of those episodes, that mass media can be used for manipulation. And his point is that you don't need a plot or a conspiracy. All you need is the news to believe more in humanism than in Christianity. That's all you need. And so how he defines humanism is that man is the center of all things, not God. Think about that. Really, think about that for a minute. If man is the center of all things and not God, all rules are arbitrary. If God is the center of all things, then there is perfection, absolute, there is a law, there is life, there is values. This is all found in God, what is right, what is wrong, that it is in God. Take that out, put man in the middle, it's whatever we think. So his whole point, though, is that if that takes over the people who are leading and speaking, he actually says once the government or the elites, those in power, have bought into humanism, media can manipulate. And so, here's my point to you as Christians, to me as a Christian. Don't be easily manipulated. Like, really, think about things. We got to recognize, like he goes on to explain how, but we got to think, we got to remember this. We got to remember what's in man's heart. John chapter 2, what does Jesus say? Sin. sin is in man's heart. So some of the people who bring you the news, the men, the women, the organizations, they have dark hearts. They believe man is the center of all things. Their perspective is not always going to be accurate. That's why we have to think critically. We have to take what I'm hearing, this is an ultimate truth, and test it with God's word. And so I guess why I'm saying this is I feel like this is going to be more and more and more and more. And you have to be prepared to say what is true and what is false. And you're not going to find that in yourself. You have to come back to this. And you have to recognize, don't be naive. If someone's coming from a humanist point of view, they're not thinking like you're thinking. But maybe more importantly than that, no, definitely more importantly than that, I think at this time in our country, more now than ever, we need to proclaim Jesus Christ as our risen Lord. Like, we have to be ready to say that and preach that, because that's our only hope. We don't have any other hope. No human person can save us. No political system can save us. So our hope has to be in Jesus, and we have to preach that then. So don't lose heart. Don't lose heart, okay? If you're discouraged, if you're depressed, if you're seeing things and you're like, what is, I see people running around in the Capitol building. How is this possible? Don't lose heart. Don't give up. And as we're about to look at, remember this truth that Christ is all you need. That's our greatest need out of everything. Okay? All right. We're going to start a new series on Philippians chapter 3. We're going to just slowly walk through this whole chapter. And I want to just start by reading verse 8, because I think this is central to what we're going to get at. So if you would look at verse 8 with me, and then we'll get into our text for this morning. Philippians 3, verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. So my hope for us is that we could say with Paul, I count everything else as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. I'll take anything that comes my way, even if it's painful, in order that I can have Christ. I want Christ. Do you know the surpassing worth of Christ? And today what we're about to look at is that Christ is all you need. And so what your heart truly longs for is Christ. And your heart will not be satisfied until you have him. Let's pray and then we'll start into verse 1. Father, we need you. We need you in this moment. We need your grace in our lives. We need your love to touch us. We need your strength and your skillful hands to heal us. We need you to uphold us, God. It's your breath in our lungs, is what we just sang. You give us life. May we rejoice in that today. May your word become real to us today. May you become real to each one of us here in this room. We expect you to act, God. We believe you will act. Give us more faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Philippians 3, verse 1. Let's read it together. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. We're just going to walk through these three verses, okay? And we're going to spend more time on the second verse because I think that's kind of, I don't know, what we should look at what Paul is emphasizing. Verse 1, first thing I want us to see is that rejoice, you belong to the Lord. Rejoice, you belong to the Lord. That's what essentially what Paul's saying there is rejoice in the Lord is think about it. You should rejoice. You should be happy. Why? Because you belong to the Lord. This theme of joy and thanksgiving is found all throughout the book of Philippians. So we haven't been reading it, right? We're jumping in chapter 3. But this theme is throughout. Paul is talking about joy and thanksgiving and rejoicing. And do you know where he's writing this from? Prison. Let that press into your heart for a minute. There's a guy sitting in jail writing a book or a letter to a church filled with joy. This section begins with finally, right? Chapter 3 starts with finally, my brothers. That's confusing because if you look at chapter 4, verse 8, it says finally, my brothers again. And it's like, Paul, when are you ending this book? It's maybe a bad translation, could be translated furthermore or well then. So he's been talking about Jesus, he's talking about the humility of Jesus, talking about what we should look like, and then he says, well then, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice because you belong to the Lord. It's easy for me to write these things, right? So Paul says that, and look at verse 2, he goes straight into this. He goes straight into this warning, which just kind of feels out of place for Paul. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Just right there, he's straight into it. He's saying, look out. You're in danger. Right after he says, rejoice that you belong to the Lord. Now, look out. Watch out. Second thing then is recognize the danger of the lying dogs. Recognize the danger of lying dogs. So the dogs here, look at verse 2. The dogs, the evildoers, and those who mutilate the flesh. It's all the same group, okay? We're not talking about three different people. This is the same group. It's a group of religious people who taught that you must be circumcised to be a Christian. Okay, if you don't know what that is, ask mom and dad. This is the sign of the covenant, okay? For Abraham, right? And this goes back to the Old Testament. But this was being carried on, and they were saying, no, you're not a full Christian unless you get circumcised. Yeah, we understand. Yeah, you said a prayer, you believe in Jesus, whatever. You still have to do this. You still got to do a physical act. So the reason I chose the word dogs for our outline instead of evildoers or mutilators of the flesh is it's so interesting. The word dog was a negative term used by the Jews for the Gentiles. They would call you dogs. And what Paul is doing is he's reversing that back on them. They're the dogs, the ones who are mutilating the flesh, the ones who are adding to the gospel. But then also a dog, think about a dog, it's a lookout, a guard dog, right? Even back then, a dog might be looking out, barking, right? Protecting you. He's saying to us, look out for the lookouts. Look out for those who are supposed to be protecting. Watch out for them. That's a pretty profound thing that he puts in here. But then Dog also hits on the idea of this constant dog-like yelping, their constant message of, you're not a full Christian until you're circumcised, as they adjust their robes, right? To get into Christianity, you need to be circumcised. The father of your house must do this, or we can't accept the rest of you either. Like there was just this constant message of doing that. And so recognize what Paul is doing. Paul is yelling, look out, you're in danger. You're in danger. He's not being careful because the danger is too real. He's not trying to like, I'm going to listen. And if I could just really understand those guys, maybe I wouldn't have to warn against them. Paul is not being nice. He's being direct. So for some of us, we need to stop being nice. Stop being nice to everyone, especially when you see that someone you love is about to fall off a theological cliff. Don't just stand there, warn them. Don't just be nice, understand the danger that they're about to hit. Think about it this way. You see a kid standing in the street. They're over there, they're standing in the street. And you see a pack of dogs running down the road straight towards that kid. These dogs are mangy, gross. They got maybe even some blood on their teeth. Who knows where they've been, right? And you see this happening right in front of you. Well, how would you respond? Like, really, what would your response be? I think probably most of us would respond the same way. But would your response sound like this? Okay, I need to do some nuancing of this situation. This needs careful consideration. I need to think really hard about this. Look, the dogs might just be coming to give that little girl a ride to the ice cream shop. They know what she needs. Maybe those dogs are actually coming to use their teeth to comb her hair. That's it. That's okay. I finally figured out what's happening. No, you would know what's going on. Those dogs are there to destroy. These dogs were teaching that you needed something more than Christ. That's what they were teaching in Philippi. Christ's death was not enough for them. To believe in Jesus' name was not enough. So Paul warns and he says, look out. And go with me to Galatians, just back a few pages. It goes Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, if you're in your Bible. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. Paul is talking about this same thing, these dogs throughout here. But I want you to hear what he says. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, okay, if you could become right and righteous through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. If you can become righteous through circumcision, you don't need Jesus. You can do it on your own. These men were lying to Christians. They were leading them astray and they were leading them into darkness. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 11. So just turn back even a few more pages back towards the Old Testament. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. Verse 13, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. It is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. It's no wonder, because even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Do you hear what's being said here? The dogs are going to come wearing suits. The dogs will come carrying Bibles. The dogs are going to come with manners. The dogs are going to be very polite. They will be very nice, and your grandma's going to love them. Okay? They could sit down and have a great conversation and make grandma feel good, okay? See, I think we struggle to have room in our theology to warn people. Like, I don't want to be the mean guy. I'm not going to be that guy. I don't want to be mean. Or, look, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I don't have all the answers. So I'm not going to tell someone else they're wrong. Well, there's a difference between true humility, which says, I submit to God. Submit to Him, and I truly don't know anything without God and His grace, right? There's true humility, and then there's false humility, which is based on fear. And what is based on fear is actually, I'm afraid to offend anyone. I don't want to offend anyone because I want them to like me. That's a false humility. I want to stay at the cool kids' table. I don't want people to think I'm a weirdo. And then at the end of the day, we start to say things to ourselves like, I don't know, who am I to say what's dangerous? I don't know. Who am I to say that kind of, who am I to be yelling, watch out for the dogs? Like, that's not my place. Go with me to the end of your Bible, to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, This is Jesus speaking to the church in Ephesus. We'll start in verse 2. Revelation 2, verse 2. I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Okay, so this isn't part of the sermon, but if this is you, take the warning. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. And then look at verse 6. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. That's Jesus talking, saying, you hate the works of this group of people, and I hate them too. I hate what those people are doing. I hate what they're teaching. Do you have room in your theology for that? Because I think what we live in right now is a culture of false peace, and so we don't like to give warnings. Like, I really don't want to hurt my friend's feelings. Even though I know they're about to be attacked, I know they're about to fall off a cliff, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be a jerk. We're supposed to love people. But here, Paul, in verse 2, has a serious warning. It's so serious that he says, look out three times. We need to be able to discern false teaching. We have to, as Christians, get better at discerning what is wrong theology. That's off. Something's off there. I need to go talk to someone. I'm going to go grab a deacon. I'm going to grab an elder. I'm going to say, what do you see here? Is this? What do you think about this? I'm going to grab someone in my life group. Because I think, here's what I think, if you struggle to discern right and wrong theology, you won't be able to discern what's going on outside the church. You're going to be easily manipulated. And my concern for us is that if you're fed a message long enough, you're going to start to believe it. And I was talking to someone this week on the phone, just talking about how if you heard the same message over and over, which is happening to us, the sky is pink. You turn on your computer, the sky is pink. You turn on your TV, the sky is pink. You open up your phone, the sky is pink. No, the sky is really pink. We've proven it's pink. Even at night, it's pink. During the day, it's pink. If the sun is rising, it's pink. If it's setting, it's pink. It's pink. And you start to believe, oh, the sky is pink. I've been told it. And then someone walks up and says, actually, the sky is blue. I don't know what you're seeing. Where are you coming from? You hear that message long enough, you start to believe it because you can't discern right from wrong, because a lot of times for us, we don't know what's in the Bible. That's what's going to help us discern, because the Bible is the truth, and the messages outside the Bible, so many of them today that we live in, are so confusing, and they're meant to confuse you. Satan wants to confuse you. That's what we're experiencing today in so many ways. So in Galatians, Paul condemns those who distort the gospel, these guys that distort the gospel. These are the dogs. But here's the reality. My example was not a good one on purpose, but they're hard to recognize. They're not dogs running at you with bloody teeth. These guys dress like us. They disguise themselves like us. So I thought it would be appropriate to give a few examples today. I don't normally do this. I don't normally think like this. But I just felt like here it is. It's right there in Scripture. Maybe I'd be wrong to not say something. So Redemption Bible Church, we're not saying we're above everyone, that we know everything. We have all the answers. But there should be some sense of, can you take these truths all the way back to the apostles' teaching? Can you take these truths all the way back to Scripture? Is there something ancient tied to it? Or when you hear someone say, I see something new, you might start to be like, wait a second. So we try to hold fast to our orthodox truth that has been proven throughout the years, right? We're not trying to add something. So I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm just saying we do our best to try not to add things. So let's just start with an obvious example. There are Christians who come at you and say, you're not a full Christian, okay? You might be spiritual, you might believe in, you're not a full Christian unless you speak in tongues, okay? If you've ever had this experience. So come with me, we got to go to this thing, we got to have this party where we pray over each other, and then hopefully you get the gift of tongues, and now you've reached this level, okay? No, that's saying that Christ is not enough. If you speak in tongues, great, but Christ is enough. Okay, the second warning, prosperity gospel preachers. Honestly, I think most of us recognize this. I don't think that most people in here, knowing you guys, I don't think you're going to be like, oh, I was duped. So, but we'll put it out there. Here's a guy, Kenneth Copeland. He's one of the kind of big names in this circle. And they add to the gospel. See, he's nice. Kind of. Actually, he looks terrifying. A little bit. He actually does. And if you've ever seen this guy get angry, I saw a video of him getting angry at a reporter. It was creepy. Way creepy. Like, spiritually creepy. Okay. Anyways, these guys add to the gospel by saying, God will give you money if you give me money. Right? Your life will be easy if you just had more faith and give me a little bit of money. And they fly around in private jets, and they stay in hotels that are $20,000 a night, okay? So you almost have all you need in Christ. You just need to do a little bit more and a little bit more and give more money, and they distort the gospel.
Okay.
He's not the only one. I expect that most of you would just be like, yeah, okay, obviously this dude's a wacko. Okay, but to distort the gospel, it becomes harder to see. So you can go ahead and put up the next picture. This lady, her name is Jen Hatmaker. Super nice. She's, you know, friendly. Her writing is hilarious. Like, she's a great writer. And she says so many things that you, if you have read her and you've been blessed by her work, it's probably a lot of the stuff she said is true. Really. Like, she said a lot of good things. But recently she started to say things like, I'm not sure if I believe the Bible. It's kind of antique. It's kind of old. I'm not sure it's accurate in all things, specifically regarding homosexuality. So we're going to take that sin off the table and put it over here in a different category. And then some of the, you know, LGBTQ stuff. Let's just set all of that stuff over here. But the rest of it we can keep. So if you sat down with her, she'd probably say, of course I believe in Jesus. He's my Savior. Of course I believe these true things. I can even sign your statement of faith. But there are certain sins that she would say are no longer sins. And what is she doing? This is where you have to be paying attention. She's redefining sin. What happens if you redefine sin? You change the gospel message. And if you change the gospel message, you're now distorting it and you're leading people astray. Right? Now, I don't know everything about her, I won't claim to, but basically, what she's saying, the Bible's not enough. Christ is not enough. You have to go with a new modern definition. You have to find enlightenment now, today. We're smarter than those people who wrote scripture back then. All right, now let's get to the really confusing guys. This last one is Russell Moore and the Gospel Coalition. Now, he writes for the Gospel Coalition, but he's part of the SBC, Southern Baptist Convention, Ethics of Religious Liberties, something with a C, convention, I don't know. And then the Gospel Coalition, okay? If you don't know these guys, it's fine. It's like, whatever, I don't read this. But just in case you hear things, I think it's important to notice this. Now, the Gospel Coalition guys, it's a group of them, a coalition. So it's not, I'm not saying it's all of them. I think Kevin DeYoung still writes for them. He's a good, solid dude. But what I do want you to realize is Kenneth Copeland was kind of creepy, but this guy looks nice. I'm going to invite him over to my house for dinner, right? Like, the bad guys aren't barbarians. You're not going to, the bad guys coming in to distort the gospel aren't going to come with a neck beard that's braided down here and a tattoo on their face. It's going to look like that. Well, look at that smile. He's happy. They have manners. But here's the thing. Their speech is muddy. It's muddy, and it's never direct like Paul. You know why they do that? So they can weasel their way out of situations. Russell Moore is the master at jumbling up truth with questionable comments and then leaving so much ambiguity. And the Gospel Coalition just yesterday wrote an article, and this is what I'm telling you, you got to look out for. They wrote an article, and then they put this as, I think this is the headline or their tweet. You have a right to an opinion. This is about all the stuff, political stuff going on, okay? So they're telling us this. You have a right to an opinion. It doesn't always have to be public. And you feel like, oh, I shouldn't share my thoughts on what happened today. But think about what these clowns are doing. This is such a joke. They are publicly telling you their opinion. So this is what I'm saying is don't be like crushed by the weight of these liars and manipulators. They are publicly telling you what they think you should do, but you're not allowed to say anything because you might be bad if you disagree with them, right? Now, there's so much more. There's obviously way worse things that these guys have put out. But there is a new addition to the gospel, and I think this is what I would warn us about, and it's not straightforward. It's you can't easily divide this, right? But it is syncretism. It's blending other beliefs into Christianity, okay? So if you've read something on Gospel Coalition or from Russell Moore and you've been blessed and it's been on the atonement or something like that, it's probably still really good and solid. Because about 98% of the stuff is true, and then you bring in something else and you blend it. And that's where you start to distort the gospel. So these guys, I believe these guys would say, we believe the Bible's inerrant. We believe the substitutionary atonement. We believe in justification. And you'd be like, whoa, right on. These guys are solid biblical dudes. And they would say, but if you're not doing justice how we define it, which is very limited in a very specific time, right? If you're not doing that, then you don't really believe the whole gospel. Your gospel is limited. You don't have the full gospel. So if you can see through these guys' smile long enough, you'll see what they're saying is, if you want access, we have the key, you need to come through us. If you want access, it's through us to get to that side. The men at Philippi, what were they saying? They were saying, if you want to be involved in Christianity, you got to get cut physically. Okay? You want to be in? You got to get cut. Today, the men are saying, to truly understand Christianity for all of you people below us, okay? You guys don't quite get it. You're trying, though. For all of you to truly get Christianity, yeah, glad you read the Bible. Here, you need to read this book on how to fight racism. You need to read this book on how to do justice. By the way, I wrote it, right? I mean, that's what they do. And by the way, I'm getting rich off of it. So to them, it's not Christ is all you need. It's not. They distort it. They muddy the waters. It gets confusing, but you get off track because you're trying to do something to make up for something because you feel guilty because Christ isn't enough, is ultimately what they're saying. So to all these people that we're talking about, all these warnings, and there's more of them, we could have talked about more. The point is what they do is Christ is not enough. Instead, it's Jesus plus speaking in tongues. Jesus plus polite manners. You got to look the part. And you got to pray eloquent prayers. You might as well go memorize some prayers from the Puritans so you're more righteous, okay? It's Jesus plus these mountains of knowledge of books outside the Bible. Like, this, it's just this, it's almost this like intellectual, I'm so much beyond all of you peasants. It's add Jesus plus that. Said, no, like, I don't care if I don't know all this stuff. I have Jesus. He's all I need. He's enough. That's it. And so what God's word is saying to us is anyone who tries to add to Jesus is distorting the gospel. We got to recognize the lying dogs around us. They are lying to us. And we got to warn each other when we see them. It doesn't mean you're on the lookout. It doesn't mean that's like your job is like to hit anyone who's But we have to have that discernment. That's what Paul is showing us here. But above all that, we got to remember that Christ is all you need. This is the third thing I want us to see is Christ is all you need. Look at verse 3. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. for we are the circumcision. What's he saying? They're saying, you have to do this thing to be accepted. You have to get this done to be a part of the covenant. And he's saying, no, we are the covenant people. We truly belong to Jesus, to God. That's us. We truly worship God. Those of us who boast in Christ. That's what it means when it says glory in Christ Jesus. To boast in Christ Jesus. And to boast in Christ Jesus is for us to say, he's everything. Christ is everything. His blood covers me. His grace redeemed me. His love forgave me. His spirit breathes new life into me. He's all I need. So the question for us is your boast in Christ? Is it in Christ, or is there something else? Or do you almost feel you need something else? Like if you were to stand before God today and he said, why should I let you into heaven? This is an old question, right? What would you say? Would you almost feel the need to be like, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but also like, I went to this church and I served in this ministry and I did this and I did that. And also I helped this person and I gave money over here. And when I needed to sacrifice for my family, I said, would you almost feel a need to kind of add to the list? I mean, even as a pastor, it could be like, well, I preached, God, didn't you see that? But at the end of the day, although yes, he does see those things, and yes, he is pleased with our actions, at the end of the day, the only thing that can save us, the only one that is enough, is Jesus Christ. We cannot add to what he has done for us on the cross. And so if you feel the weight of that sin, if you are experiencing the conviction of the Spirit that you know my heart is broken, my heart is off, my heart is longing for Jesus, my heart is not satisfied, I need something, there's something missing, and I feel that sickness that you're talking about, then the only hope is to cry out to Jesus, to put your faith in Jesus, to truly believe, and to say, I confess my sins. I repent. I need your forgiveness, Jesus. And I'm going to turn away from those things, and I'm going to pursue your path for me. Would you breathe your life into me? Would you cover me in your blood? Thank you that your grace has redeemed me. That is what we have in Christ. And that's all you need. You don't have to add something else to it. If there are burdens on you that you need to do more, you said a bad word this week. You probably almost lost your salvation, right? No, there is not this like, I can accomplish something now to add to Christ. He is enough. Your justification was bought on the cross. You've been made right with him because of Jesus. You've been made right with God because of Jesus. Not because of something we can add. So we have to say, okay, I'm going to let go of all those things. I'm going to receive his grace. I have nothing to offer him. I'll take your salvation. I receive it. Christ is enough. Christ is all you need. Let's pray. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for Paul and his directness. We thank you that he points us towards you, towards the truth. We thank you that in Christ we are safe eternally. In Christ we are redeemed. In Christ we have been rescued from the pit. You rip out our hard hearts and you replace it with a heart of flesh. Would you do that today, God, to anyone who has not chosen to follow you, to believe in your name? And would each one of us remember that you are all we need? We don't have to add to the works on the cross. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.